I started 2 weeks ago, and I preached a message that I didn't know God was going to use as a springboard to continue us on Wednesday nights. I know pretty soon, when we're finished with this, we will take the two books of Thessalonians for our Wednesday night study. I'm trying to get there, but the Lord's not letting me get there. And I preached a message 2 weeks ago looking at Jacob and Esau, and a message entitled, When God Works Behind the Scenes in Our Lives. And I left that message going home and thinking about the next Wednesday night, and God just began to take me to along that same thought about how he works in our lives. And I preached last week from Naaman and his leprosy about sometimes when God takes you through the mud. And we all know what it is for God sometimes to allow us to go through the mud, to humble us, and the importance of our obedience during that time if we're going to see God's blessing and God's power revealed. So we've had those two messages, and I just wanted to spend some time on Wednesday nights allowing us to stop and focus and really try to find, and this is going to sound weird, it sounds fuzzy and feely, and I'm not fuzzy and feely if you know me, but kind of try to see and find God's hand in our lives, to be cognitive, not so much about fate. We don't believe in fate, amen? We don't believe in luck. We don't believe in fate. We believe in a sovereign God. And we don't believe in chance. We don't believe in happenstance. We don't believe in coincidence. We believe in the sovereign providential hand of our God. And I know you agree with that. But sometimes I think as believers, we go through life and it's almost like we respond and we react to life from the thought process that God has to react to the issues of my life. It's almost sometimes in our mind, we think that life takes us down a trail and then it's up to God to respond to wherever life takes us. Sometimes it's almost like life is in charge and God is powerless. I know we don't believe that, but sometimes in the daily operating procedures of our lives, we can come under that thought process. And when we come under the thought process that life is in charge and that God is kind of handcuffed or has to react to the way life is and that he's somewhat powerless in our lives, My friends, that's pretty discouraging to us. And truth be told, I'm trying to get you to see on Wednesday nights here for a little bit that God is never second chair in our lives. He is our preeminent Lord. Amen. And nothing happens by circumstance. He doesn't wake up and say, I wonder what Tom's going to do to me today. I get out of bed and God is right there. He's been in that bed with me. I step out, he goes with me. And if I will allow him, he'll lead me step by step throughout my day. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And so it's imperative for us that we 24/7 have the mindset and the vision of looking and seeing and finding the hand of God in our lives. So when I run into a problem, it's not look what life did to me. It's Lord, why did you let this happen? Are you with me? Say amen or not. All right, so these messages, when God works behind the scenes, there's sometimes in my life, I just need to trust that, hey, this is bigger than me. I can't do anything about it. I'm before my face, before the throne of grace. I've got God's word, and I'm trusting you, God, to work behind the scenes. I may have a daughter or a child that lives hundreds of miles away. I can't be there, but I need you to work in their life. I've got a boss. I need you to work in his life. I've got a family member. I need you to work here. I've got a situation here. And Lord, I'm just trusting you. You've got to work these things out in my behalf. And trusting that when I pray, God is answering that prayer, hearing that prayer, and stewarding and working upon those things. And then when God brings me through the mud, I need to understand that not all the time is it the devil that takes me through the mud. Sometimes God brings me into those situations. Sometimes God will take me perfectly minding my own business, perfectly worshiping, perfectly enjoying him, and he'll just say, okay, Tom, I want you to come to me today, and today we're going to walk through this mud hole a little bit. It'll be good for you. I got a blessing over here, but I need you to come here, this, and go through this so I can get you here. Now, don't get in the middle of this mud hole and bail out on me. If you get in the middle of this mud hole and you bail out on me, then you're going to miss the blessing I have for you. And sometimes we think, oh, man, life just slung mud all over me. No, life didn't sling mud all over you. God slung mud all over you. Well, why did he do that, Pastor? Because he's wanting to bless you. He's wanting to try your faith. He's wanting to bring you through these things. And so my whole goal in this series is to take life and circumstance and chance away from the forefront of your thinking and understand that it is his eternal presence and day-by-day walk. And my goodness gracious, how much better do we receive things? How much stronger are we in faith? How much joy do we retain when we realize that it's not just life leading me, it's Jesus that's leading me. I don't trust life, but I trust him 100%. Life doesn't love me. He loves me. Life has no power. He's all powerful. If I get up in the morning and just think that God is responsible to react to life, then I leave the bed discouraged. But if I get up thinking, where's God going to take me today? And I know it may not be easy, it may be difficult, it may not be what I want it to be, but I know he'll be leading me. Then I say, I have no shepherd like the great shepherd. Okay, so I'm trying to get you to think on that process. Having said that, I want to preach tonight a message and look at a couple of verses here. And the title of it is this: When God Takes the Long Way. When God takes the long way. Remember when you were a kid? Daddy, take the shortcut. We always love having a shortcut. Some of you men are still kids and you love shortcuts. Some of you husbands and wives have had tremendous fights on those shortcuts. I know you have, because so have I. And it's not always a pleasant experience. But we always want the shortcut. And sometimes, I remember as a kid, my dad would take the long way home. There was always two ways to get home from church to the house. And there was a shortcut and there was a long way. Now, there were times when my dad at church would say, when you get home, you're going to get a spanking. My prayer in the back seat was, Lord, let him take the long way. I prayed that prayer many times. And I understand that. Exodus chapter 13, the children of Israel are delivered. They are brought out, verse number 9, for with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. They are on their way to the promised land, and they're getting ready. You know God has given them favor, and the firstborn of Egypt has been slain, and they're getting ready to go to the promise that God had for them. Verse number 17 begins this way of Exodus 13. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them, not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. All right, look this way. Let me set a stage for you. They're coming out of Egypt. They're headed to the promised land. It really was just a few day journey over there. There really was a way that they could have went. They didn't have to go around to the wilderness. They could have went through the land of the Philistines. But as they're coming out that way, God doesn't lead them in the shortcut. God leads them along in the long way. I find from that a couple thoughts here that I think are good for us to know on a Wednesday night. I think what you need to know on a Wednesday night, number one, is this. God's not necessarily interested in our timetable on life. Pastor, I want to be married. Well, okay. I want you to be married too. Pastor, I want to have a child. Well, I do too. Pastor, I want this job. Well, I want you to be blessed too. Pastor, we need this home. We need this thing. We need this. And we kind of have our timetable that we like to have things. And for most of us, we want what we want in the shortest amount of time possible. You want to make me mad? Make me wait longer than 5 minutes for my Whopper. gets me in the flesh every time. I got there the other day and they shut the drive-thru down. I still am having a hard time with that. I actually didn't go to Burger King today because I didn't want to get in the flesh on Wednesday. I went to McDonald's and it was much better. So we want what we want in the shortest time. Understand something about the Lord. God promised them Canaan, amen? Oh boy, you're asleep already. Did God promise them Canaan? Yes, okay, all right. Did God eventually get them to Canaan? Yes, he did. Would he have done it earlier had they not sinned against God? Yes. Okay, so here's what God does. God knew where God was taking them. Totally secure was God that he could get them there. He knew what he had promised them. The blessing was there, was waiting there, it was going to happen. But God is equally as vital as the end of the game and in the destination. God was also interested in the road that they got there. See, we want to get to the blessing as fast as we can in our lives. Whatever area of life we think we need to be blessed in, we want to get there we want to be there now. And whatever it takes, get us there now. God wants to get us where God has for us. He wants us in his will. He wants us to have that. It's there for us. We're not necessarily interested in the road as long as it's short. But in our lives, God is interested in the road that he takes to get us to the blessing. And so God looked at the nation of Israel and God said, okay, I'm going to take you to Canaan, but I'm going to take you the road I want to take you. Now, if you look at the situation, they would have said, let's go the short road. Pastor, why was God interested in what road he was taking? Because God had a purpose in the road. God does not ever do anything without purpose. See, we have purposeless moments in our lives. We use a Bible term, veg out. Veg out. We just want to veg today. I just want to lay on the beach and do nothing. I just want to sit here and do nothing. I want a purposeless day to myself. I just want to do nothing. I guess there's nothing wrong with that, but God never has a purposeless moment in his whole entire existence. He always has a purpose. So when God has blessing for us, it's for a purpose. When God leads us down a specific road to that blessing, it is with purpose. And I'll show you his two primary purposes he has. It was the same way in the nation of Israel. Look, if you would, in verse number 17. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people, purpose number one. See, God had a purpose in this road for the nation of Israel. The same way God has a purpose in the road that he takes you along. And the first purpose was his people. Second purpose, look if you would, Exodus chapter 14, look if you would in verse number 31. Stay with me, you got to think a little bit, but I promise you, when we get done, you're going to say, Pastor, that was a good one. All right, look at verse 31. And Israel saw that great, what class? Work. Okay, so here's God. He's got the nation of Israel. He's taking the promised land. He chooses the long road. Not the short road, the long road. Why the long road? Because he has a purpose in his choice. His purpose is defined by two entities. He has a purpose for his people, and he has a purpose for his work. And those are God's purposes in our lives. God leads us along in our lives. God takes us down roads that we may not see as being necessarily a proper, necessarily beneficial, necessary right, but God always has in mind his people and his work. And so he gives us a little glimpse into why he had to take them down the long road. And in verse number 17, it says he had to take them down the long road because if he took them through the land of the Philistines, they would see and they would face war and they would face all this, and they were vulnerable and they weren't ready for that. And they thought when they saw war, they would return to Egypt. So the Lord looked at the nation of Israel and he said, you're not ready or strong enough or able to endure this short path. So I'm going to take you to the long road, and I'm taking you around the long road for your own benefit. If you're still with me, nod your head. Okay. See, I need to tell you something that I think we forget sometimes as Christians. God knows more about us than we know about ourselves. We think we know ourselves. I like chocolate. I like vanilla. I like this. I like that. Oh, I do well in these circumstances, Pastor. Or I don't do well in this. Oh, this is my gift or this is not my gift. And sometimes, if we're not careful, godly people, we think that we know ourselves better than what God knows us. And so there are times when we want this blessing. We want it now. And so, God, if you would just let me get to this point as fast as we can, then I think this is going to be best for me. And if I could just get this promotion now, get this marriage now, this child now, this job now, this financial blessing now, this goal now, this home now, if I could just get it here and get it to me as fast as I can, boy, that'll be a good thing. And sometimes God says, hey, I've got all these things for you, but you could not survive this little short venture. So for your own benefit, I'm taking you the long way. Pastor, why is it taking so long for God to answer this prayer in my life? Well, probably it's because of your own benefit. We don't like to think that way, but God knew they would never survive that land of the Philistines. They would get in there and they would see that war. They would be challenged in their thinking. They would repent from that, and they would go back to Egypt. And so we just see, well, we'll make it here, no problem. But there's a lot of times that these little short little roads that we think we could just maneuver very easy can be dangerous for us. So one of the reasons God chose the long road for the nation of Israel, and sometimes the reason God takes you down the long road, and you think, why is he taking so long to do this? Why can't he just let me have this? Why can't he just let this prayer get answered? Why is it taking so long? It's for your own benefit. By the way, I read in Romans chapter 8, verse 20, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purposes. See, church, we need to be reminded that God knows us better than we know ourselves. Maybe you can't handle that success right now. Maybe you're not prepared for that situation right now. I don't know what the reason is, but God knows. Maybe God has something different for you right now. Maybe God has something that he wants to teach us about, but he takes us down the long road. And so prepare adventure. Now, I know this about the long road. Pastor, sometimes the road seems so long that I wonder if God's kind of forgotten about me. Have you ever been driving along and you're not lost, but you sure could do to see a good sign? Okay, I took my girls down to the Miami Heat game the other night. We try to take them one time a year. It was Madison's birthday, and we took Casey. We were rewarding her with something, and Miami is kind of a different place than Plantation. I don't know if you've been there or not. Okay, so I find this parking lot, and I park in there, and they want my kidney and my right arm to park in this parking lot. And I get in there, and we get out of the game. It's nighttime, and we get in here, and when I parked, I said, no block. Oh, no block. Yeah, right, no block. And then I said, how do you get to 95? Oh, you just go here, there, there, and you're right there. Okay, no problem. Well, here, there, and go, and right there didn't work out too well. And so I'm driving around the city, and my wife's like, she's trying to be supportive, and she's sick tonight, so I can say some things without fear of judgment. And she was trying to be supportive and helpful. She's like, you sure you're going the right way? Yeah, I'm going the right way. How do you know I feel it? You ever had that? I just feel I'm going the right way. I got to be going the right way. And I saw this intersection there. You know how Brickell Avenue comes down? It cuts across and you end up in front of Bayside. But on the on-ramp, it swings around. And I thought I'd seen that one time. And so I'm almost there. And I think that's my road. Lord, let it be the road. Because if not, we're going to be in big trouble. And I just needed to see a sign. And I got pretty close, and I looked behind a tree branch, and there it said 95 that direction. I said, yeah, we're on the right road. I know we're doing well right now, you know. I was full of confidence right then and there. Sometimes on the road, I just need to see a sign. Look how gracious the Lord was to the nation of Israel. He leads them through, and I'm hurrying here. Verse number 20. They take their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. All right, now, the Lord knew that the nation of Israel knew what was the shortest distance to the land of Canaan. He knew they knew there was a direction through the land of the Philistines. And so when he gets them out there to secure them, he gives them the cloud by day and the fire by night. And so now all they are need to be concerned about is which way the cloud's going and the fire's going. Now, distance really is not necessarily their main responsibility. He gave them those things so it could settle them that whether they're on the short road or they're on the long road, they're following the leadership of their Lord. And so they have the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, and as it moved, they were to move. And so God does that with us. So, some of us go through this. Lord, why is this taking so long? Okay, what possibly could be we waiting on? Are we sure we did this? We took this step of faith. We trusted you here. We came out of Egypt, the nation of Israel could say. We've done these things. Why aren't we there yet? Are we on the right road? And the same way God was gracious to give them signs to follow, God has been gracious to give you and I signs to follow. And God's people had better learn how to follow the word of God, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And God is faithful to give us open doors and the leadership of the Spirit and good godly counsel. And sometimes it's the thing you need to be assured of is not how the length of the road that God has you on. What you need to be assured of is, am I following the Lord's leadership? Amen or oh me. And sometimes he's going to get us to the goal. And it may not make sense to us. Why in the world would the cloud be going that way? We need to go that way. Doesn't he know it's a long way that way? Yeah, he knows. But he has us in mind. And sometimes we need to walk the long road, following his signs. Why, Pastor? I don't know, but he knows me better than I know, so I'll just trust him. Okay, number two. Reuben, maybe give me to 46 after, okay. His second purpose is his work. Now, God had his people in mind, but he also had his work in mind. And in chapter 14, verses 1 to 4, he reveals that he wants to get honor against Pharaoh. God wanted glory. Verse 4, he says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh. Pharaoh had so despised him and so blasphemed him, and God said, I'm going to get honor and I'm going to get glory, not only upon Pharaoh, upon his whole host and the Egyptians, that they may know that I am the Lord. And so God, on this long road, has his people in mind, but he also has his work and his glory in mind. And so God is going to lead his people on this long road, protecting them from themselves and also preparing them to be used for God's glory. And so he sends them to camp in front of the Red Sea. You know this. In verse number 2, they're told to go over in chapter 14 and camp before the Lord, or before the Red Sea. And God's going to use that to trick Pharaoh. And God's going to use this to get glory in his life. Now, let me stop right there. One of the reasons that God leads you sometimes and down a long road. It's not just to protect you, but God's preparing you and using you so that God can get glory. My friend, as great as God's blessings are to us in our lives, the greatest thing that ought to mean the world to us is that God's glorified by my life. We're so quick to want the blessing. No problem with that. But to the child of God, we want God to be glorified. Paul said, be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or whether it be by death. And so God says, I got Canaan for you, but I want glory. I'm protecting you from yourself, and I'm going to use you so I can get glory. And he leads them on. Now, here's nation of Israel's remarks to that. Look, if you would, in verse number 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, you know the story, he's breathing down their neck, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they, the children of Israel, were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. All right, so you have the Lord explaining to them now. It's revealed to them how God has them positioned where he's going to get glory. They don't quite understand it yet because they feel like the mouse in the trap. And so God's got them there, and the first thing they want to do is they want to complain. And they say, why'd you bring us out here to die? Couldn't we be buried in Egypt? What's wrong with you? And Moses says, listen, hold your peace, for you're going to see God do great things. Now let me make some application. There are times in our lives, and I'll be number one, you get behind me, that God leads me down a longer road than I think, and I get somewhere down this road, and I look back at the Lord, and I say, why'd you bring me down this road? Why'd I ever take that first step of faith? Why did I ever surrender everything I have? Why did I surrender to full-time ministry? Why did I say I would begin to do this? Why did I do that? Could you not have left me alone over here? Now you got me down here, and I'm absolutely in a mess. I'm trapped. I got no way out to go, and you brought me down this road. Why'd you do that, Lord? And let me just say, if nobody else does, I've said that to him before. We get ourselves there, and we get like the nation of Israel. But God is bringing us here. He's brought us here to protect us. He's brought us here to get glory. And then God does something here that's just amazing in verse number 15. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, see, Moses was crying out to the Lord, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go what way, class? Forward. Okay. I almost preached a message off this verse entitled, when God doesn't want to hear your prayer. Think about that a second. Well, God wants me to pray 24 without ceasing. That's what he told me to do. Yeah, but he told Moses to stop praying. He didn't want to hear it. You mean God didn't want to hear Moses' prayer? Did I hear you right, Pastor? Yeah. And sometimes God doesn't want to hear your prayer. Whoa, you better fix this for me. Okay. What were they following? How did they know they were going the right way? What were they following? Okay. It had brought them to the sea. It had brought them to the camp. If they were going to go forward, what had to already be forward? Yeah. So here's what I think happened. I think they encamped. I think they turned around and they saw Pharaoh. The same time they saw Pharaoh, I think God took that cloud and he moved it out over that water. And he set it out over here. And the children of Israel went, huh? What? Excuse me? They're breathing down our neck. We can't walk on water. And Moses they get to Moses, and Moses goes to the Lord, and the Lord says, Moses, what are you praying to me for? Go forward. Sometimes in our lives, we get led by the Lord, and he takes us down these roads, and we run into a Red Sea. And the leadership and the leading and the will of God and the Word of God is pushing us forward into obedience. And we don't want to go forward because we're afraid out of our mind. And so we begin to pray. And our prayer goes something like this. Lord, you're going to have to help me. You're going to have to meet this need. Lord, I don't know what to do next. Yes, you do. They did also. Their prayer was, we need to go back. We're going to bury it out here. We need to go back. And we don't know what to do. And sometimes we get in a position and we tell something to the Lord we know is not true. God says, I want you to keep going and go forward. I'm leading you here. And we look and say, Lord, I don't know if I know what you want me to do right now. Could you please make it plain to me? How much more plain could have been the nation of Israel with a cloud out over the water? And God said, I want you to pray to me. I already told you what to do. Go forward. By the way, you never have to pray for God's direction once he's already given it to you. You don't need to pray for something God's already given to you. And so God is leading them. And they're so afraid. And so Moses says, well, we have a prayer time. God said, I don't got time for you to pray. Go and obey what I told you to do. Well, Pastor, why would God do that? Flip the page, if you would. Long story short, God's wanting to get glory. He's got a work that he wants to accomplish. So sometimes in our lives, God brings us these positions, and the way forward may not look like it's passable, but it's the leadership of what God is wanting us to do. And we say, God, why do you want us to do that? Because God has a work in our life that wants to bring him glory and also bring to us, look at verse number 30, chapter 14. Thus, the Lord, what's that next word? Saved Israel that day out of his hand. So sometimes God takes us down that long road, protecting us from ourselves, concerned about his work, wanting to use us to get great glory in his life, but also to save us, to bring us to a position of blessing, to protect us. And so God led them into that position so he could reveal his marvelous power, his marvelous ability, so he could show himself strong on their behalf, so he could save them from the Egyptians. He got great glory from that, and they got tremendous courage and blessing in our lives. So there will be times, church, when God's going to take you down the long road. And the next time you ask the Lord, why is it taking so long? Remember, he knows you better than you know yourself. He's concerned about you. He regards you. He knows what you can handle and what you can't handle. And he's leading you along, protecting you from you. And then he has a work that he wants to do. He's going to use you to get glory in that work. He's going to use you to, and then he's going to show himself strong, to show himself in a real way in a salvation, not in a soul salvation, but in a redemption of moment, in a blessing, in meeting of a need. And sometimes God takes the long road, and I promise you this, if you follow him, you'll be on the right road. Be on the right road. So remember that. The next time we want to pray and say, God, why is it taking so long? Shall we pray?